From WGCU, this is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Cape Coral City Council members have approved an ordinance adding anti-discrimination protections for LGBT city employees. The city is the first municipality in Lee County to provide such protections. We'll talk with Councilwoman Jessica Cosden, who authored the ordinance. Also, a representative from a statewide equal rights group will discuss where Southwest Florida stands in comparison to the rest of the state for LGBT rights. Plus, dire wolves, mammoths, and giant Ice Age armadillos may sound like images from a fantasy novel, but these creatures roamed around Florida 13,000 years ago. Researchers know this from what they've uncovered at the old Vero dig near present-day Vero Beach. Coming up, we speak with a researcher leading the team at this year's dig, and we'll also talk with an archaeologist about similar ancient treasures right here in Southwest Florida. But first, the news. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. The Old Vero site is where researchers have found evidence of the oldest human remains in North America. We will talk with researchers there about a new discovery that may settle a century-long controversy about exactly how old the site really is. But first, Cape Coral City Council members voted unanimously Monday, 1 week ago, in favor of an ordinance adding protections for city employees against discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression. The ordinance was championed by City Councilwoman Jessica Cosden, who joins us for the show now. Thanks for being here, Jessica.
I'm so happy I could be here.
Also with us today is Hannah Willard with Equality Florida to talk with us about statewide efforts to make discriminating against LGBT people illegal. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We are talking about LGBT rights in Southwest Florida. Have you faced discrimination, or do you have an opinion about ordinances protecting the LGBT community? Share your thoughts with us at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. Jessica Cosden with the Cape Coral City Council, what made you want to put together this kind of an ordinance?
Honestly, when I came on council in 2015, I was surprised that such an ordinance didn't already exist. So the city does have certain protections for its employees when it comes to race, gender, and all the typical classes that you'd see protected, but the LGBT community was not protected, so I made that one of the first things I started working on once I was elected.
So what does this ordinance cover?
So people who are employed by the city of Cape Coral, so this is not a citywide, it's just for people who are employed in Cape Coral, will not be discriminated against based on gender identity, and that includes a perception of a gender identity, as well as sexual orientation.
And that's about 1,500 city employees?
That's a moving number, but that's about right.
Yeah, plus or minus a few. Were you surprised that the council unanimously approved the ordinance?
I was. I wasn't sure. I was pretty sure it would pass, but I wasn't. I was very surprised that it was unanimous and pleasantly surprised. I think everyone saw the need and voted accordingly, but just based on some comments that I'd heard made in previous meetings, I really wasn't sure it would be so well received.
Hannah Willard with Equality Florida, according to your organization, there is no statewide law that's prohibiting discrimination against LGBT people. Do you feel like individual municipalities are going to be able to do enough to get these ordinances passed at a local level?
Well, certainly there have been many municipalities that have taken positive steps forward, just as Cape Coral did recently. In the state of Florida, 56% of Floridians currently live in cities or counties that have protections for LGBT residents in employment, housing, and public accommodations. So we are working to pass a statewide law that would protect all LGBT Floridians. And in the meantime, local cities and counties have taken steps to pass their own policies. So we certainly urge local municipalities to do what Cape Coral has done, and we are so thankful that Councilmember Cosden has taken this leadership to protect LGBT people in Cape Coral.
As far as the statewide efforts go, are there any bills currently in the House or Senate in the state of Florida that are working towards this?
Well, the Competitive Workforce Act is a piece of legislation that has been introduced every single year for almost a decade now by various legislators in both political parties. And it would do something very simple. It would add sexual orientation and gender identity to the Florida Civil Rights Act. The Florida Civil Rights Act of 1992 was designed to protect people from discrimination. It currently covers race, religion, national origin, marital status, pregnancy, you know, several protected classes. And this year, we do expect that that bill will be introduced yet again to protect LGBT Floridians in employment, housing, and public accommodation.
Back on the local level, there are 10 Florida counties and 29 municipalities, including Northport and Venice, which have adopted similar ordinances that cover workers in both the public and private sectors. Cape Coral now joins Sarasota County and two other Florida cities in adopting ordinances that protect against LGBT workplace discrimination in the public sector only. So, Jessica, on the local level in Cape Coral, do you foresee this ordinance ever expanding beyond city employees to make discrimination illegal against LGBT people in private sector employment?
It's possible, but I'm not there yet as far as what will happen, but it absolutely is a possibility.
Do you think that might be something you would be willing to pursue?
I'm still thinking about it. I really don't want to bring forward something that would polarize the council even more than we have been. I know we were unanimous on this issue, but we've had other issues where we're very split. So I kind of just want to maybe let this year go by, and then after the next citywide election, I think I'll have a better idea of whether something like this is likely to succeed or not. And I definitely don't want to bring something forward that would simply fail and polarize.
Yeah, I can see that, and maybe you want to take a little time to enjoy one unanimous victory.
Exactly.
Hannah Willard, is a similar case in other parts of Florida? Do we see that LGBT protections begin in a public sector and then expand into a whole city or a whole county?
Oftentimes, city councils and county commissions will take incremental steps forward, certainly, to protect all their LGBT residents. But, you know, I think that the bottom line is that this issue has gathered so much bipartisan support over the last couple of years, especially. You know, this issue is no longer a partisan issue. LGBTQ equality is something that more and more Floridians agree on. I think that the positive step forward that Cape Coral has taken just goes to show that this kind of an issue is gathering more and more support from all kinds of different folks, from faith leaders, from business owners. You know, we see the business community eager to see their employees fully protected, not just at work, but also in the communities that they call home. So I do think that this issue is growing with its support on both sides of the aisle and all across the state of Florida. And to see this momentum in Southwest Florida is really exciting.
Why do you think that is, just in the last couple of years, things have moved forward so much?
Well, you know, I think that it's been for a couple of reasons. I think that as LGBTQ people have become more visible in our communities, it's really caused a shift. I think that what we saw with the marriage equality victory was so many couples and families coming out and sharing our stories and introducing our communities to our families and saying, look, LGBT people want the same things that everybody else wants. We want to be able to fall in love, get married, and earn a living, provide for our families, and have our shot at the American dream. I think that by sharing our stories, we've really been able to shift public opinion in favor of fairness and equality for all people. And I think that the next step is to say that LGBTQ people deserve to be treated fairly under the law, including for the purposes of civil rights protections. I think that that shift has already begun, and I think that we'll continue to see the momentum grow.
Yeah, we are talking about the new ordinance in Cape Coral protecting LGBT employees from discrimination. With us are Jessica Cosden, who authored the ordinance, and Hannah Willard with the statewide organization Equality Florida. Do you have a question or comment that you would like to share? Give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we are at WGCU using the hashtag GCO. Jessica, I wanted to ask, have you heard anything about other municipalities in Southwest Florida adopting similar ordinances?
Not at this point. I'm hoping that there will be a ripple effect, but I haven't heard of any specific municipality moving forward with a similar ordinance.
And as we mentioned earlier, this just applies to city employees. Do you think that this might be able to set an example for private industry in Cape Coral?
Oh, I hope so. I hope so. I know that I viewed this as an employer, the city as an employer, And if I were, say, on the board of a private company, I would push for the same protections because I think it attracts people from all walks of life. People seeing this ordinance, I think, would LGBTQ people would now feel safer coming to Cape Coral to apply for a job, and I think that's the goal. It's just to create a safer, more positive work environment.
Without naming any names, can you tell me, are there any people that have come to you with concerns about discrimination in the workplace, not necessarily with the city, but just in the city of Cape Coral? Or kind of like, what is the climate that you're hearing from your constituents out there as to what the discrimination situation is like? Is it a lot, or do you hear about it much?
I did have a few people. I did like an informal poll. I talked to a few employees of the city that are gay. And I heard from one that she's been here for years, but she was in the closet for a good amount of time because she was afraid of what might happen. I talked to another who said she had experienced discrimination, not as far as promotions or hiring or firing, but just being treated differently. And she's lesbian. So clearly there was an issue. I did not speak to any employees who had actually been fired or not hired for being LGBT, but there's definitely a sense that there is an issue and hopefully this will begin to address it.
Well, yeah, before you get fired, you can be made to feel quite uncomfortable.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Yep.
And that is something that this law, this ordinance, this is seeking to try to stop that?
Indeed.
Being pushed around and kind of bullied in the workplace? Hannah Willard, I wanted to ask you also, statewide, do you see a lot of people coming to your organization reporting that they're being discriminated against on the job? Is this still happening to people a lot?
You know, unfortunately, in the work that I do, I hear from folks who experience discrimination on a regular basis. Equality Florida receives discrimination reports from folks from all around the state who are experiencing discrimination in employment, in housing, in public spaces, sometimes in healthcare. So, you know, unfortunately, we do know that discrimination against LGBT people is alive and well in Florida. I do think that what's important to note about what Jessica was saying earlier about how proactive ordinances attract people to, you know, cities and counties that have these protections in place, I think that that could not be more true in today's economy. You know, I think that as we see a bill like House Bill 2 in North Carolina just send businesses running from North Carolina. North Carolina is hemorrhaging millions of dollars because they passed a law that targeted LGBTQ people in their state. And so certainly we know that businesses understand that having protections in place for LGBT people attracts the best and brightest. It allows them to recruit and attract the top talent for their industry. And that's why over 80% of businesses and corporations have these kinds of protections in place for their LGBT employees. So I think that we know discrimination exists, and we also know that proactive policies that protect LGBT people are not just the right thing to do, they're the smart thing to do for business and for our economy. So I couldn't agree more that the policy that was just passed in Cape Coral will absolutely send a message to attract new talent to the city of Cape Coral.
And you mentioned earlier that you get reports from throughout the state about, you know, being discriminated because of LGBT affiliation or, you know, sexual orientation. Mm-hmm. Do you know geographically what spots have more and less? And I guess my question is maybe about Southwest Florida. Do you see a concentration of it in certain places or a lack of it in other places?
You know, I don't think that we see a concentration in certain geographic locations. I think that what we see is that the majority of employers, you know, over 80% of corporations have policies in place that protect their LGBT employees. But we still know that when there is an absence of a law in place that mandates equal protection, we're going to see discrimination. We're going to see bad apples, bad, you know, employers that won't do the right thing unless the law requires it. And I think that when I look at the state of Florida, there's a patchwork of protections right now where 56% of Floridians live in places where they have these policies in place, these protections in place at the municipal level. And that means that just under half of Floridians have absolutely no legal recourse when they experience discrimination. So when we get these discrimination reports, unfortunately, if this discrimination has happened in places that don't have local protections, there's very little that these people can do to take action after discrimination has occurred.
So the places,
that's what we want. The
places that do have these types of ordinances and stuff, you see fewer reports of discrimination?
On an anecdotal level, I would say yes, but I do still think that there's no definitive concentration of discrimination reports in certain parts of the state. I think that Southwest Florida should absolutely see more policies passed so that fewer people experience discrimination, because these policies send a positive message that discrimination will not be tolerated.
What kind of discrimination do you hear about? Do people get fired or laid off, not promoted? What's coming to you as far as reports?
I think that oftentimes it's what you were describing earlier, Julie, where someone is harassed on the job, is mistreated on the job. You know, I think that LGBT people, we know that we need to be careful and we need to be able to protect ourselves from discrimination. And I think that oftentimes it's not as overt as being fired when you come out, but instead not being promoted, not being given every opportunity in the workplace. I think we hear about those sorts of insidious forms of discrimination more often than not.
And then you mentioned earlier, if the local ordinances are not in place and there's nothing countywide, citywide, or anything like that that's protecting people, what kind of recourse do those people have?
Well, if there's no law in place, there is no legal recourse available. You know, it requires a human rights ordinance or a statewide law to be able to have any sort of cause of action, any sort of legal recourse. So, you know, for folks who experience discrimination in places where there's no policy in place, there's very little that can be done. And I would urge anyone that has experienced discrimination to go to eqfl.org and fill out a discrimination report to see if there is something that we can do to help you. But until we pass a statewide law that truly protects all LGBT people, there will be places where there's no legal recourse available.
So a person can be fired from their job or not given a promotion because they're LGBT or because they're gay or lesbian or whatever, and they cannot do anything. They have no legal ground to stand on.
That is correct. And I think that the biggest piece for us, too, about passing a statewide law is that we do believe that policies like the one that was just passed in Cape Coral, like the one that we've been advocating for at the statewide level, they send a message that discrimination won't be tolerated. And we do believe very strongly that it will discourage further discrimination from happening. Just by setting the standard, just by setting the bar, by Florida saying, you know, we're a place that does not tolerate discrimination against LGBT people, we really do believe strongly that that will discourage future employers, future landlords, and future, you know, restaurants and hotels and such from discriminating against LGBT people.
We are talking about the new ordinance in Cape Coral that's protecting LGBT employees from discrimination, city employees. With us, we have Jessica Cosden, who authored the ordinance, and also Hannah Willard for the statewide organization called Equality Florida, link to which will be on our website at wgcunews.org. Do you have a question or comment for us today? You can share your thoughts at 877-428-8255, 877-GCU-TALK. Hannah, there are two bills in the Florida State Legislature right now. There's one in the State House and one in the State Senate. They were filed on Friday, January 20th, and they're calling for an amendment to an existing Equal Pay for Women Act that had already passed. And they want to amend it to prohibit discrimination against people on the basis of sex or gender identity. Do you have high hopes for that bill? Or do you think that covers enough the LGBT community?
It would be fantastic if that bill were to pass. We're so thankful that Senator Linda Stewart and Representative Lori Berman have brought it forward. And certainly we would urge all employers to provide equal pay for equal work to not just women and men, but also all members of the LGBT community, certainly.
Do you think that laws are going to be able to eliminate bias against LGBT people?
You know, that's a really interesting question, Julie. I think that changes in policy often mirror changes in culture. I think that there is often sort of a chicken and egg effect with changes in policy and in culture. And I think that the marriage equality victory is a perfect example of that. I think that sometimes changes in policy spark society to evolve on an issue. And I think that other times social evolution really presses legislature to act. So I think that on this issue in particular, I think that society has moved further than our laws. I think our laws need to catch up to the public support for equality and fairness for all people.
And there's a group that's younger, and that's students in Florida schools. And you, I wanted to know if there's anything statewide that protects LGBT students. And I wanted you to tell me a little about your Safe and Healthy Schools program.
Yeah, sure. So there's actually a statewide law that does prohibit bullying against students. But unfortunately, it does not specifically include sexual orientation and gender identity. So there's no statewide law that specifically prohibits bullying and harassment against LGBT students. But our Safe and Healthy Schools project is designed to go county by county, district by district, and encourage school boards to adopt their own policies to protect their LGBTQ students, and also encourage them to develop procedures and programs that make sure every single student, no matter who they are, no matter who they love, no matter what they look like or where they're from, to make sure that every single one of them feels safe and protected while they're at school. So our program is led by Dee Palazzo. She's our director of Safe and Healthy Schools, and she's been working with already over a dozen school districts just this year to make sure that they're putting policies in place and procedures in place to keep all their kids safe.
It seems like there's a lot of smaller scale grassroots type of mobilizing that's happening with the LGBT community. And I'm wondering, do you think that that was impacted by the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando? Do you think that that is what has kind of mobilized the LGBT community recently?
I think that that's a great question, actually, for Jessica, too. I'd be interested in hearing her thoughts. I think here in Orlando, we are still recovering. I live in Orlando. Orlando is my hometown. It's where I grew up. And I think that we saw hearts open. We saw minds changed. We saw people coming to us and asking how they could do better, how they could be better at supporting and affirming and loving LGBT people. And I think that specifically among the faith community, we saw so many folks come to Equality Florida and ask what they could do to better support LGBT people, especially after such a tragedy like what we experienced at Pulse this past summer. I think in the legislature, we also saw elected officials soften and want to move away from targeting our community with legislation. And I do think that we're going to see more and more elected officials take action, just like Jessica has, in wanting to protect LGBT people from discrimination.
Jessica, quickly, we're about to run out of time, but I wanted to ask, did the Pulse nightclub shooting have some influence on you bringing forward this ordinance too?
Not me personally, but there's quite a chance that it impacted the opinions of my colleagues. It was gut-wrenching. Even down here in Cape Coral, we were all heartbroken to see what happened.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to leave it there, but thank you for joining us today. Jessica Cosden with the Cape Coral City Council and Hannah Willard with Equality Florida. Thanks so much for joining us. Coming up, a trip so far back in time, Florida looked like an alien landscape. We're talking with the people doing the dig at Old Vero site, where 18-foot-tall sloths, saber-toothed tigers, and mastodons once roamed. We'll be back in a minute.